It seems like these proverbs become more and more poignant at the end of the year. Especially right now, they just leap off the page. Those three sentences are full of incredible wisdom, but sobering advice. Every word of God proves true, okay? There's a promise. There's something to take to the bank. Every word of God proves true. In other words, it doesn't matter what things look like. You don't get to decide when it's not proving true. In your life, if you're like, God, where are you? It's really interesting. I have a friend who is dealing with another couple in his neighborhood. We're going through a ridiculous amount of marital turmoil. Crazy stuff, actually. Really bizarre stuff. And when he tries to bring the authority of Christ through the Word of God into the situation, because they continually, even though they're not close, they keep calling on him to basically come bear witness to their utter dysfunction and zaniness. And when he brings the Word of God into the situation, they basically revolt against that. Where is God in all of this? He certainly knows all that's going on. Why can't he intervene? All of those words are bogus. It's an extreme example. But we are all guilty of it at one point or another, where we decide God is doing something, or we decide that our hearts tell us to do something, and then invoke the blessings of God upon it. We need to find out we were misdirected, and God is not blessing, and we have put ourselves in harm's way one way or the other. We can't figure out where God is, or we feel like God leads us into something. We go ahead headlong, only to find out, we missed it by a degree or something. And the odd thing is, we humans, and you know, it's not just we humans who are alive today, because this permeates scripture. We decide that it's not our fault, that it's God who has not shown up. Which is laughable. We're talking about our Creator, the Creator of everything we know or ever will know. Every rock, every tree, every snowflake, every hair on your head. And somehow we get the haughty idea that we get to sit in judgment of his actions. It's fairly crazy. It's utterly dysfunctional. Totally self-absorbed. And flat-out loony. And I've done it a lot of times in my life. Every word of God proves true. If there's an error, it is not on God's part. Period. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. And here's the clincher. Do not add to his words. That's the kicker. Do not add to his words, or he may rebuke you and expose you as a liar. Go back to Micah for a second. What we read today. I mean, the other side of that is the Lord gets exasperated. Stand up and state your case against me, God says in Micah today. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaints. All right? Who else can summon the mountains and the hills as witnesses? And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. What is God's complaint? Oh, my people, what have I done to you? See, they're in the same boat. God hasn't shown up for us. He isn't doing what we want him to do. What have I done to make you tired of me? God says, I brought you out of Egypt. I pulled you from slavery. And then he goes down a list of the things that he's done in their lives. God could say the same thing to us. What have I done to you? What are you so mad about? Look back through your life. Look at what I have done. Look at what I have delivered you from. Then Micah steps in and says, look, what can we bring to the Lord? What can we? What kind of offering should we give him? Should we bow? Should we give yearling calves? Should we offer 1,000 rams? 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn child to pay for our sins? No. It's very simple what God requires in all of this. And I think this is, if I have something important to say, is this. Stop thrashing. Stop living a bipolar Christian life all over the map. Settle. What is it the Lord wants? What is it that He requires? It's simple. Do what is right. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Fear the Lord if you are wise.